Am I on? Yep, I'm there. So, you know, that's, I think this is a good time to mention. It's a great example of something we all need to take to heart. There's a number of people who, I'm beginning to have some sound feedback here. There's a number of people who feel like going to church isn't going to heal their problems, right? I'm going through stuff. And the problem is you don't have anything else in that other side of the whole thing. What I've learned is this, is the reason why a lot of us feel like we need more people in our life. And Dawn's not one of, she's given herself and she's been faithful to this body. She's been such a kind-hearted, caring for our family in particular. But I know there's people on the other side that don't make it to church. And one of the reasons is because they don't connect with anybody in church. And because they don't, they just feel isolated even when they're around people. But the truth is, there's a whole room full of people and beyond us that really care, really do. A lot of times, we just don't know the depth, but we'd be glad to sit with you while you're in the middle of it. Sometimes all people really need to know is there's another friend. There's somebody who cares right beside you. And you need to come to the place, if you're that person who's like, man, when I'm in the presence of somebody who's in tears and overwhelmed, I don't know what to do with that. And because you don't know what to do with that, you don't usually volunteer for that. Let me just make it easy on you. There's nothing you're supposed to do with it. Just be there. Just be there. Just let them hug you if they want to hug. Just be in the room with them. Offer to help them with something while they're going through their grief. Grief is something very real for all of us. At different points, we all have some tremendous kinds of grief. And this is definitely one of them. I could see why it would be that way for her. So just to keep in mind, we just need one another. And we need one another more than we know. So let's just get to know and move past offenses and do whatever we can to be connected with one another, even deeper than we are right now. Even deeper than we are now. You know, I've thought about this. Giving to somebody and helping somebody, even if in the end it looks like that they were just using you, even if in the end it looks like basically you're just sowing some entitlement problem within their life, the way that they choose to receive your gift has nothing to bear upon the reality of the gift itself. Some of us just need to know that. You need to know that, man, people have been raw to me. Somebody has treated, and maybe somebody here needs to hear this part. Maybe you've become cold because you've had too many of those people in your life. You used to be compassionate, caring, and just give, and you loved doing it, and it just filled you full of the love of Jesus, and you lost that because you saw how many people would mistreat the gift you gave, and you stopped hearing the Lord say to you, well done, good and faithful servant. I love that you give even when people reject or they don't do the right thing with it. That's not on you. I don't know how many times I've been in a situation in life and I thought, I dare not try because if I do, it may fail. But the failure is on their end, not on yours. And, you know, oftentimes the Lord has a way of sometimes saying, I want you to give to somebody. Now, it doesn't happen most of the time, but there are times when the Lord will say to us, I want you to give to somebody who's going to be entitled. They think they deserve what you're going to give. And not only are they going to be entitled, but they're going to also treat you like you didn't exist after you give it to them. I'm doing that to do something inside of you. I'm doing that to do something inside of you. You have to be a gospel-oriented, faithful follower of Christ. Jesus laid down his life for those who will never make it into eternity in heaven, and he laid down his life for those who will. He gave the same gift to all. And it's important that we recognize that. It's God's love in us, not human love inside of us. So I want to share something with you. I want to go back to Do Not Grieve the Holy Spirit, part 2. How many of you were here last week? Good. So how many of you would say the format or the way that I did that, just the Lord really used that and ministered to you through that? How many of you would say that? Okay. So how many of you would say the format that I used? So we were just basically having questions, sharing, giving you guys an opportunity to share and speak, and we had four specific questions we covered. How many of you would say that the Lord really, that I would like, Pastor, you could do that more. I'm glad you did it that way. Okay, Ryan was grateful for it. Julia, Caleb in the back. Okay, now I'm going to ask somebody else to be really bold. How many of you were here last week and say, not really, I'd kind of like it if we didn't do that again? Is there anybody that feels that way? You got to be bold, because if you don't speak up now, you'll forever have to hold your peace.
I'm going to say yes because
of the
recording.
Okay. Did I?
It makes it really difficult.
Right. Okay. Right. Exactly. So, as far as personally, though, do you like it? Does it feel like it works? You're just like, as far as getting it out? Yeah, absolutely. Okay. So, one of the things that's really important to me is, and I'll have different times I feel like the Lord lead in different ways, but we've become so accustomed to being the guy that has to be up here to preach that sometimes we feel like this idea, dance, monkey, dance. It's like I have to put on a performance. The reality is that each one of you need to benefit, hopefully, from what I do here. I mean seriously benefit from it. So if you're hearing a message and you're like, Pastor, that's a good message, and by within an hour you can't tell anybody what was said, I'll be like, I begin to wonder if that had an effect, a deep effect that I'm praying for on your life. So I'm always praying and asking the Lord to do this in a way that creates fruitfulness in our lives, if that makes the most sense. Even if, in some sense, we don't get a good recording off of it, I don't want it to be that way, but I'm realizing I would rather fruitfulness, deeper fruitfulness, and have other obstacles to have to figure out than I would any other way. So what I would like from you guys is feedback. Please, give me feedback, positive feedback. Give me some views of, like, here's what I think is a struggle. Think of it like I love that Tina did, because a lot of people won't do that. They won't say, hey, this is what won't work, and I'm opening up the audience for it, so that may mean that this is going to get a little weird or crazy if I do that. But at the same time, I'm realizing one of the weaknesses of the pulpit and of the ministry is we don't know what's happening out there. We don't know. So we keep on doing the same old thing, and we might find out after ministry's retired and I get to go talk to Jesus, he's like, not much really got to happen through that. Or there's a whole lot happening, and I hear a lot of good things, and I'm grateful for it, but please don't be the person who feels like you need to encourage the pastor when he did a bad job. Now, that doesn't mean that you don't try and find something, but the reality is I need to know things. I'm looking for God's anointing. I believe the Lord is leading me. There's going to be times where you may say something. I'm going to be like, I shake my head. I don't feel like that's the case. But most of the time, I open my heart and say, Lord, what are you saying through this? So just hear me on that, please, okay? So that's part of this time. So I want to ask you guys this question, because this is my concern for lack of fruitfulness. Did we have anything that the Lord led us to do or follow through in our time together last week? So one of the questions was, what has the Holy Spirit put his finger on? Is there something? And most of you that were here, raised your hand, the Holy Spirit did put his finger on something. Are you still? How many of you still remember what that was? What the Holy Spirit put his finger on, right? Now, if you weren't here, you're going to say, well, I don't remember. I don't know what you were talking about, so I don't know that part. It's just basically we're dealing with, are we doing things in our life that the Holy Spirit grieves the Holy Spirit, and we need to bring it out in the open? In the book of James, it says, confess your faults one to another, pray for one another, that you may be healed. I don't know if you guys have caught that, but there's times in my life I've wondered if the reason why a physical healing, not just a spiritual healing, but a physical healing was on the back burner of a sin that never got confessed, or some issue in your life. Notice it says confess your faults. It doesn't say just confess your sins. Confess your faults one to another. Now, I think healthy families are the kinds of families that don't brush everything under the rug and think everything's going to be fine, even though we never talk about the struggles and the problems that are going on. I think a healthy family, healthy marriages, can be, we can talk about the hard things, the things that is difficult for us in life, and we can talk about them, and we can do that in a palatable way. We can do that in a way that when it's all said and done, we both flourish from it, we learn from it. I can definitely say there's definitely times in my marriage where it's a difficulty to hear my wife speak back to me from her perspective, things that I've done, said, or what it's felt like to her. There's definitely been times where I have been calloused enough to say, well, that's your opinion, but it's definitely not how I feel about it, and try and treat it like it doesn't exist. How many of you know that if you keep doing that over and over again, doesn't matter what the relationship is, if you keep pushing somebody off, you're going to have a broken relationship. So in the church, we need not practice this, and we need not practice it in our relationships at home. I have found the greatest comfort in my heart, in my life, in my marriage is to have my wife speak to me and then stop, take it in, and then, Lord, help me process this. And what I've found is that God takes that other person in your life and he uses them in a special way to purify, cleanse, to renew, to even add more joys to life if we receive them as that. So criticism, antagonism in a sense, could be one of the best things that you ever had in your life if we can humble ourselves to it. And if we can't do it with our spouses, guaranteed we'll never do it anywhere else. Right? So with that being said, the question I asked was, is the Holy Spirit putting something? How many of you can say that? Why am I having you raise your hands? Because it helps me know something's happening and God's speaking to you, right? So then I also said, last question was, how many of you have somebody that you can trust to share that with? And then I gave you the homework of, go share that with somebody. So I'm going to just ask so that I know. It's not meant to be an embarrassment to anybody, or you're just not doing what God tells you or anything like that. I just need to know. How many of you did that? How many of you went and shared with somebody what the Holy Spirit was putting his finger on? Ryan did. Awesome. My wife did. Anybody else? Jared did. So Isaac says a little bit, kind of somewhat in the background. So can anybody else in our audience right now be bold enough to say, I didn't? I just didn't share it with anybody. I was here, but I didn't share it with anybody. Now, I'm interested, why? The question is why? So out of those of you that raised your hand or didn't raise your hand, would any of you want to share why you didn't? Maybe it was I just forgot, or I got busy, or it was I just didn't feel comfortable with. I just was wondering why. Does anybody want to share that by any chance? What's that? Just didn't take the time. So that's probably the majority of us. Is there any other reasons? Oh, yeah, yeah. That's a great one. So, in other words, I wanted to do it, but I felt like the person I would do that with wouldn't, okay? So, what's that? Right time. Yeah, that's exactly. Right, so I feel like there was a couple people that had mentioned something to me after that service just before our potluck, and I realized I was, so this was my confession. I just realized that just the other day. I was like, man, I was busy, and I saw it, but I just didn't have, or I didn't take the time for it. But these are all really important, because that sometimes what's grieving the Holy Spirit stops right there. It ends, and man, I wanted to, or because of the other person, and we never look for when's my next opportunity. It should mean something to us, is what I'm getting at. It should be a deeply meaningful if we really do feel like the Holy Spirit put his finger on something. It should be like, I can't not do this. At some point, I got to get there. But why people? Why should we have this investment? Why should people be involved, especially in ways just you, me and God kind of thing? And oftentimes the reason why people should be involved is because it brings us to the relationship that God intended for us to have with one another and with him. That's why Jesus said, if you are love one another, and also in that connection is we are one, as I am one with the Father, you ought to be one with one another, or love one another. But almost on the practical end, it gets broken down. Because it's like, spiritually, Pastor, I believe in that. I actually stand on that. But the problem is, it seems like when trying to put it in practice, it just has its struggles. But that means, to some degree, we know there's going to be resistance to be faithful and obedient to what God wants. Now, you do not necessarily have to share it with a person for it to actually, whatever the Lord is putting on his finger on. We had one of us that when we were here last week shared about the struggle with lying, not being completely open and honest, and the need to have that conversation with the people that concerns. Well, that being said, it's what if that conversation never happens? What if the people most intimately connected to you, they need to hear this thought or this how you're feeling, or even like you're sad that you're not practicing what God wants, but you feel wrong for it. I had this situation not too long ago, and I said to a person, I said, you have to realize something. If you don't communicate something to me or to the other person involved, the worst is on the table. Meaning that you're leaving it open for them to interpret the worst. If you don't say anything, you don't do anything, you give the other person the impression that the worst could be on the table. Not that it is, but it could be. And then it's saying like this. So like if, for instance, my wife's birthday, I failed to get her a gift on her birthday. It means a lot to her. And I just realized, man, it was not because I didn't care about you. It was because I had some situation come in and it actually kept me from being able to do it at the time I intended. And I'm sorry about that. And I never say that to her. And I never communicate that to her. She's left with the possibility that she's not valuable enough to me, she doesn't mean enough to me for me to even consider her. Now, she should know from our relationship that's not the case, but that doesn't mean the possibility of it is not on the table. So, because God has inspired in his word, confess your faults one to another. And what I would like to say is there one person, so just think, in this room, and that would normally be here, is there one person you can, as you glance over this audience, could say, I don't think I could confess my fault to? Now, that could be because you detect something in that person that says, I can't trust you because you're not trustworthy. But it could also say something about you. It could say that I'm not willing to be open with the people around me, or I've learned to isolate myself to a few, and I'm not willing to let God have a deeper work so that I can be a part of the body of Christ. I'm a part of certain people in the body of Christ, but I'm not a part of the body of Christ. So I would want to challenge you with this, is that if you feel like you can be free with God, your next level of freedom needs to be with somebody else, most likely. I need to be able to know that, and this is why. Because brothers and sisters, if we, each one of us, are submitted to our head, which is Jesus, then how in the world it is that another brother and sister can't come to us and talk about their faults as they would with the Lord? If Jesus has his dominion and authority in your life, why can't they? Probably because you're not really letting Jesus be the Lord of your life. We have theology, we really do. We have theology that says Jesus does not have to be Lord, but that I can be his child. I can talk about him. I can talk about his grace. I can talk about his love. I can talk about like I'm in the family, but he's not Lord of my life. We have theology that protects that. It's not biblical, but we have theology that protects it. So I would like to know, out of those of you who did, what did the Holy Spirit do through that time? Would anybody feel like they could share with me? What did the Holy Spirit do through that time of sharing? Brian. so I love that. Ryan's sharing with us that the byproduct of having opened up, he's connecting it to the blessing of God providing some more financial freedom and an open door there that he doesn't think would have happened had he not been more open. And I would agree, in many cases, that's the case. And that's kind of isolated to where you are with the Lord of recognizing that. Lee, did you want to share something? That's powerful. That actually, we should share on that thought. Actually, I'm going to just ask, how many of you would say there are definitely times where you're like, I don't want to open up what's going on in my life because I feel like I'd be a burden? How many of you could say that? I would. Yeah. I'm putting my hand up on that one. Absolutely. And I think honorably and with virtue, there's a side to that that we need to be faithful to that. Like, yeah, let's not do that right now. But what I would also say, I want to encourage, because we're still trying to get back to that level of I can confess or I can share my fault with another person, is that we get an opportunity with that person to introduce the idea first. So what we say is, hey, brother so-and-so or sister so-and-so, I have something that I want to share with you. It's going to be kind of heavy, or I need to share with you a fault that I just feel like the Lord has put on my heart, and I feel like I can trust you with it, but I don't want to put my burden on you, but I also feel like it's important. Would it be okay, and would there be a good time, right? So they have to be, every one of us have to be the kind of person, don't say okay to something that we really don't want to say okay to, but you just have to learn to practice it. Like, actually, I don't think I could. And if Lee were in that situation, and I felt like, honestly, to be open and faithful to him, be like, brother, I wished I could, but I don't feel like I'm in a good spot to be able to do that. Then, you know, it shows that there's an openness in that relationship, but we're just not there. But, you know, a good follow-up would be, but what I'd like to tell you is this, when I do, I'll let you know, right? Because it's just conditional upon me not being in the right spot to do that. But otherwise, what I would probably say to him is, you know, that's awesome, and thank you for bringing it up in that way, because I do want to do that, and I'm really busy right now, but what I can do is, in a week or two from now, let's actually plan it and put it on a calendar. I'm going to say, a lot of us would just do a lot of good if we had a calendar we put it on so that it was a reminder calendar, and then that way we keep to it. And then he gets that opportunity to practice what the Holy Spirit is putting his finger on, and those gaps are being taken care of. So literally, it's not just, do I confess to a brother or sister, but how do I get that done? How do I get that to work out? When you find freedom with one, you'll oftentimes find that you can practice that freedom with others. The challenge will be finding somebody you never thought you could do that with and do it, so we can build the body of Christ. We can build the body of Christ. I love that. Thanks for sharing that. Thanks for sharing that. So I want to hang out just a little bit in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 30. Chapter 4, verse 30. This was our scripture. But I want to hang out here just a little bit, because I feel like the Lord gave me something that we all need to hold on to this. Chapter 4, verse 30. Ephesians 4, 30. And Isaac, you can put that up there on the screen. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. I'm just going to read verse 31, but the focus is verse 30. Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. Actually, I'll read the last verse too. And be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, just as God in Christ also forgave you. Now, one of the things I look at here is like, okay, so let all bitterness, wrath, and anger. Let's just deal with the anger side of something, right? So how many of you would say you've finally met the climax of not acting out in anger? Awesome. We've got a few people who said, I finally have got to the place where I don't really, maybe I should word this different, who can say, I've gotten above that issue for good, and I know I'm not going to ever have to deal with that again. How many would say that? Good. We got a few people that said they're not going to have to deal with it again. Awesome. So the reality check for most of us is this. It's like, how far can I carry that? So if we're just basing it on the textbook law, don't get angry, what if I feel a little bit angry? What if I have an angry thought go through my mind? Does that include that? And can I get to the place that I never have an angry thought or an angry feeling? How far do I go before I meet the criteria of the legitimate command? And you're like, wait a second, this can just go on and on and on and on. So when it comes to forgiveness, kindness, love, it's like, I think we all could say, I feel like maybe I could have loved deeper. I think I could have forgiven more. I think I could have done it sooner. I think we could have come to some conclusion where it's like, it's like I never really quite met the criteria of the command. Almost looking at it like, well, we're all working at it, but none of us are there, right? Glad there's a few of us that are there. So what you notice is in verse 30 is, what is the focus? The focus is the Holy Spirit. That's the focus, the Holy Spirit. So the importance of this is that we're not saying we have to be careful that we're not saying you need to hit here's the threshold of, this is where the commandment, where you finally got to the place you're perfect, or you finally got perfect at this. I know nobody in right here, if I said, how many of you have achieved perfection, nobody's going to raise their hand on that one, except for somebody in the back who is just having fun. Nobody's going to raise their hand in honesty that I'm in the place of perfection. But what we do realize is there's this need, this deep need for the Holy Spirit in our life. And so the focus is this, to go from what grieves the Holy Spirit to who we're grieving. And there's going to be a few thoughts along that line. But I want to share this story. Earlier this last week, we were met with a group of people, and part of this conversation is with pastors and with others that have a care for the community and a desire to see how do we meet basically the needs of the community within limited resources, and how do we come together on that, and what are some of the concerns that go along with that. And one of the concerns that almost always will come up is, how do we meet needs of people within the community and not help people that are entitled get what they want and continue to get that? In other words, use the system. And the gross problem with it is if somebody's using it, they're not actually contributing, they're pulling away from, especially from those who need it. So how can we do that? And it almost seemed to be like that was beginning to be the shift, but I loved how the conversation moved over to something else, and it was the importance of not just meeting needs, but having relationships to the people that were meeting their needs. Because we can create another program or an organization that can give you money, that can give you food, that can provide a shelter, but the problem with those in and themselves is that it's only meeting a physical need that's not differentiating between entitlement, self-absorption, and also, here's one of the other things, how do you minister to entitled people? Well, we think how you minister to them is don't give them anything. Make them suffer and make them work. Sometimes that's true. But that's where we need the Holy Spirit, to give us the discernment in the moment when we look at somebody and we say, on the surface, I should not be doing this. This isn't wise on what I'm seeing on the surface. But I detect from the Lord, I don't know why he's telling me, sometimes you'll feel that, but he's telling me, do it anyway. Because you don't see what's in the front of you. You don't know what's in the future. So what we've done is isolate the Holy Spirit down. We've eliminated the Holy Spirit and we've isolated it to biblical living. Does it say it in the Bible? Does it not say it in the Bible? And then God says something that just almost wipes that completely out, and he says, They're led by the Spirit of God. They're the sons of God. So did we do it according to the Bible? And I'm not saying the Bible is not a very, very strategic book in moving forward with God. But there are there's distinctions and differences in every situation, every scenario, and every life that require that you get a download from God Himself. You can't be the person who says, okay, well, if you fit that criteria, you're off on that side, and you fit that criteria, you're over there. It doesn't get that. It's not that simple. So when we grieve the Holy Spirit, it's simply because we got in a situation and we started analyzing it based on its pros and cons, goods and bads, all those other things, and we didn't actually get the voice of God on the whole thing. And we weighed it out. Well, it doesn't look wise, so it must not have been of God. Rather than, it's just what the Holy Spirit lined up in. And I think this, I think we should consider pros and cons, wise and not wise, but we should land on, Lord, what are you saying to me? I need to hear from you. Definitely. So when the story ended, I realized I'm so grateful that this conversation worked its way around to the relationships, because one of the things that I've realized, ministry-wise especially, is we have to tailor to every person. We have to begin carefully to, like, I need to listen to what you're saying. I need to hear you. So along those lines, when we were at Boise, there was a, when we walked into my mother-in-law's house, there's a guy there, and I'm looking at him like, who are you? Like, you don't look like any of my brother-in-laws, and I have to sift through quite a few of them to be sure you're not one of them. But I just realized, you're not one of my brother-in-laws, and you don't look familiar to me. And my temptation is to say, I guess I'll accept you here anyway, whether you belong or not. But then I thought, no, I got to ask the question, who are you? You know? So I got to know him some, and uniquely, this guy was ready to share and open up his life and his mind and his stories to me. And I found out a lot about him pretty quickly. And I said, you know, it's rare that I get to meet somebody and so quickly get to know them like I have you. For the witness protection program, I can't mention names or. So he's somebody unknown. He was somebody that's been staying or that they've been kind of giving home to for the time being, so he can get back on his feet. That'd be the best way to put it. But interesting guy to get to know. But I realized is as I listened, as I got questions, as I got feedback, at the same time, the Holy Spirit is beginning to bring things to mind, open things up, ask these questions. And I realize a lot of people will answer things, but they won't tell you the part of their life that they really don't want you to know. He didn't seem to be that guy. But I've had a number of people over the last few weeks tell me personally, one that I care about deeply said, I don't feel like I can genuinely be me around others and my family. And what he shared with me is this, and I asked him, I said, are you the kind of person who withholds information? Because he says, I try to create an impression, make them think a certain way about me. So are you the guy that withholds information, or you make it bigger than it really is? And he said, it depends. It depends on the impression that I'm trying to get them to have of me. I thought, what a terrible place to be in, but I've been there, right? Sometimes I get there. Man, I am not telling you certain things. And I'm prejudging you beforehand. But at the same time, saying I don't know you enough to say that I can get there. But the reality is, that's the information that's going to help us help them at some point. Is what do you not want to say? What do you feel so uncomfortable that if I were to ask the question, you just, not going to do it. I'm not going there. Because that's where the pain is. That's where the sin is. That's where the difficulty of letting God in is. And oftentimes, we've isolated, we kind of talk about it with the Lord, but we really haven't got our heart out in the open. That's why we need people. God uses people. He anoints people for this task. So it's the focus of the Holy Spirit is what I'm getting at in this, is that He is able to bring out the truths as they are particularly to us, and it has to do with the things that we feel like we grieve the Holy Spirit in, or we feel like we're perfect in, right? So we need to move from what grieves the Holy Spirit to relating to the Holy Spirit about it. We need to relate with the Holy Spirit about these things that we feel like we should confess to one another or that he's put his finger on. So when we go from what to the Holy Spirit himself, we ask different questions. We're not asking the questions of the things that concern what is wrong, but now we're going back to him and we're isolating it to how does he feel and what does he think about the personality of the Holy Spirit. We're getting involved in the personality of God. And we need to know what grieves him, why it grieves him. So one of the questions you're going to have to ask is, whether you ask it verbally or it comes as a part of your heart relationship to the Holy Spirit, is why does this grieve you? I know that it grieves you, but why does it grieve you? And part of us would say, I already know why it grieves him, because it's wrong. But you need more to get through it. You need him to make it vivid and real as it sits with God. It can't be as you feel about it or as you think it is. It has to be very real and a reflection of his holiness back to you. Another question you're going to have to ask, or you're going to come to, is how much does this grieve you? When you care about the one involved, those are the kinds of questions you ask to the personality or to the person, is how much does this grieve you? And what I realize is if you ask that question and you don't have an answer, that already tells you where you are with God. Why do I say that? Because every deep, loving relationship that you have with somebody has already addressed that as a very central, integral part of that relationship. You're not just wanting to find out what pleases them, but you're also very much tied to what grieves them. That is a precious part of somebody who, I'm invested in this relationship, I'm invested into you, you're important to me. Not just so that I can run the opposite direction when I can find out what grieves you, or see if I'm a good fit, but now I'm getting to know you on a deeper level. And here's the other thing, when we actually want to know what grieves someone, what grieves the Holy Spirit, it means that we're not in here for the superficial. I'm not entertaining superficial Christianity. I'm not entertaining a superficial relationship. I'm in here because if I'm interested in what grieves you, it means that it's not going to feel comfortable coming back to me. But it matters. I'm open to correction. I'm open to the discomfort of so that I can be closer to you. So the other thing that you should ask is this: is my struggle to be faithful, faithful to God, faithful to this thing that grieves the Holy Spirit, is it wrapped around my being more concerned with what than who? And that I need to say that. It's so important. Some people are so concerned about what's wrong and why it's wrong and because it's bad and it's not right in itself. And it's like the legalistic whole idea of, is it sin? Is it not sin? Is it okay? Is it not okay? And that's what they've concerned themselves with. Do I find it in the Bible? Is it not in the Bible? And they totally never even got into the ballpark of, what does the Holy Spirit feel about this one? How does he feel? How much does it grieve the Holy Spirit? So they didn't even ask that question, or they've asked that question very little. And because of that, the struggle remains because it's about the thing rather than who. It's way easier for me in union to my wife and knowing what grieves her. And because I love her and I care about her, it's way easier for me to back down and change my ways because of my unique love to her. But you take her out of it and just make it a law, and it has no personal connection with anybody or anything, it's easy for me to disregard it. I can continue to keep falling short. I can continue to break that law because I don't see who it's hurting. I don't see how it's offending anybody. But when it offends God, and it you deeply feel that offense to the Holy Spirit, it's hard. And the more you realize how it offends the Lord, the easier it is to quit doing it because you love him. So let's talk just a little bit about the Holy Spirit's grief and the Holy Spirit's grace. And for me, when the Lord spoke to me about this, it's like, wow, this just opened up a whole new world for me. One of the best ways to interpret the grace of God is to look at what grieves God. See, what we're doing is trying to interpret the grace of God without seeing what grieves him. And we're totally misunderstanding his grace, not even seeing it for what it is. So in Romans chapter 6, verses 1 and 2, Paul says, "What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein?" That almost sounds like sinless perfection, right? But what he's getting at is this is the attitude of a heart that truly understands the grief of God. The mixture of his grief and his grace. If you understand the way God is grieved with sin, it'll change the way you look at his grace. It'll change how you handle the grace of God. I'm seeing people writing down notes. This is a good deal. So, what comes to be of that is am I passionate about the grace of God, but feel very little about what grieves him? Now, those are the things that we just don't ask questions on. Or like, honey, what is it that I did the other day? Or, Lee, you know, we have a good friendship and relationship. What is one thing that I do that sometimes just grieves you or just gets under your skin? Or, because Lee would never find anything like that with me, he'd say, it just bothers you a little bit, right? We just want to know that little piece to that because, yeah, somebody looks at us as brothers, right? I'm passionate about, because when I think of this, I think of Lee is giving me grace in an area he would normally be grieved in. So I don't take that lightly. And I tread lightly in an area that I know grieves somebody that I love. And that's how we operate in the grace of God. Right? Yeah, right. Yeah, that's the other piece, as you realize. And that's the power of God's grace, because the grace of God is not we're done, move on down the road. The grace of God is, this is where things change. This is where we move forward. And we see the difference in the development of the mind. There will be people who the entitlement to the grace of God attitude is, I can live any way I want. I can continue to grieve him. That doesn't matter because it's not relationship based. It's based on the laws of what make me feel good and feel bad and all those other things. And I just know that God is good and he'll just forgive me all the time. And so that's the way you want to look at God, because then you can do anything you want in life. The problem with doing anything you want in life, you still run into snares, problems, and hang-ups, and it still sucks. It's still terrible. But they do it anyway. So what I would like to say is this, is that I don't think until we start inviting it in and saying, Lord, please, share with me your grief and the enormity of your grief and the greatness of your grief, that we're really even praying to know the grace of God. That we're really even praying to wrap our arms around it and embrace it for what it is. And so that when we have the grace of God, we have this passion to protect its purity, to honor its virtues and its intrinsic beauty, is because we realize that when I'm walking in his grace, it's because I'm trying to navigate away from what grieves him. And I'm not going to navigate it for what grieves God if I don't even care about what grieves him. If I'm passive about the things that make the Holy Spirit grieve. So most likely, I would say this, most likely if you're an expert in his grace is because you're also an expert in his grief. You understand that? And so I've personally felt those times when God shared with me his grief. Some of them were over myself, and how many of you know what I mean when I say when God lets you see his grief over you, it just wrecks you. You can't, I mean, tears are just, it's like a river is just flowing out of you because you're like, Lord, I'll share with you one of those, one of those stories. Hopefully that hasn't been long. One of those stories for me, and this is deep and personal, but I had a brother a long time ago. This is quite a ways. This is quite a few years ago. We were going to camp together. It was a men's camp thing. And if I remember, I walked into the cabin, and I started talking to him. And this was one of those moments God kind of surprises you with. And something triggered. He said something, and it was something along the lines of how he kind of felt he wasn't happy with himself. And I said, it triggered me to ask the next question was, why did you say that about yourself? Why are you speaking down about of yourself? And then it started to expand, and he started to share some very deep struggles. I won't talk about those in the moment, but I never dreamed that moment would start to open up some very major areas in his life. We went to the dinner table right after that, and we were circled around, and we were waiting for the line to come around into the line, and I was sitting there, and I think we had finally gotten our food, and I looked over at the table across, and I looked at him, and I remember thinking, Lord, this is a solemn moment, and you got him on my heart. In other words, my way of interpreting is that the Lord said, I'm sharing with you my grief. This is not natural, it's supernatural. And I stopped, I didn't eat anything. I knew this was my moment between me and God. And as I kept thinking about him, it just became more and more vivid. It wasn't a sin in particular. It was like there was this something I could feel that only God could feel. And I was like, I'm just moments away from just breaking out in tears. And I'm looking and wondering if there's any guys that are noticing me in the moment, trying not to be distracted by the men that are around me. See, God will share with you his grief in moments that are not comfortable, even around the people you're around. And finally, I knew that the rush was coming, and I just couldn't hold on. And I broke out in tears at the table because I could feel what God was feeling. And so I was like, I got to go find a place alone. Now, those are the moments you just, it's isolation works, right? And so I'm headed out the door. And as I'm headed out the door, that same brother, not knowing, comes. And he goes out the door because he knows something's happening. And he stops me before I make it to the cabin. And him and I are hugging together. And it's an embrace of brotherly love. And he doesn't know he's the one I'm praying for. See, that grief of God taught me something about the grace of God. Because God on the other end of that is like, this struggle that he's going through means something to me. And he can't see what I see, because if he could, he would end it now. And the grace that he needs would cover and change and remold and reshape his life. And can I say to this day, it has. I've looked at a new man. I've seen his eyes. I've had his testimony. I've had a very deep, close life with this brother that has never changed. And what I realize is this, is the grief of God teaches us to bleed with our brothers and sisters. It teaches us to not forsake when we look at them and we can say, you just don't have a will to survive. You don't have a will to follow God. But I can't help. God has me locked in, not for my own compassion, because I would have long ran to go. I was ready to quit long time before this, but I can't but hold on. And God's got me holding on. And then the Lord does the miracle, because you know as well as I do, it's going to take a miracle to move them out of that. And when you're on the other side of that miracle, brothers and sisters, I can tell you one thing. I'm not looking for grace to cover. I'm looking for grace that cleanses, changes, transforms, and remolds and reshapes. And I love it that eventually they get to not only be the one to experience the grace that's changed them, but the grace that's invited them in to be a part of God's grief too. So it's powerful if we just lend ourselves to the Holy Spirit to share his grief with us. our grief that we've caused and the grief of others so that we can practice the gospel at hand. Amen?
Amen.
I want to do a couple things, but I want to give an opportunity. And here's what I want to do. I want to open up for communion, the communion elements. I'm going to share a few verses on communion. But I'm going to give everybody an opportunity because these are sometimes for us altar opportunities. And you want to take, some of you, I wouldn't be surprised because I'm that guy oftentimes, that you want to take your communion right here to the altar and you want to just spend some precious time with Jesus over just letting him share his grief with you. You may be pouring out tears over this before it's done. The Lord's sharing his grief, somebody he cares about, he loves with you. And so you get to do that in kind of your moment with Jesus. So I want you to capture your moment with the Lord the best that I can. So what I can do here is I'll read those verses. I'll open up the communion for you. You come as the Lord is just prompting your heart to do so. You can kneel here. I'll tell you this. If it's so close and intimate, you feel like you need another room to go in, just do it, please. Just spend your time with the Lord. Don't let this moment flee because of anything else when you get your chance to be with the Lord. So I want to do that for the moment. So let me pray, and then I'll read those verses. We'll open up communion. And then, Isaac, after that, you can turn on some music for us in the background, if you would, please. Father, thank you today because I feel like out of the time that I spent with you this today and throughout the week about this very sermon, I have never felt more ministered to than right in this moment. And I'm thankful, Lord, that I get to share in the unique love and intimacy that my brothers and my sisters have with you, Lord. And I just want to pray that you would open us up today. Father, I don't know, other than it just seems like the Holy Spirit is highlighted for me. I want to share my grief with the church. Your love grief, Jesus, that's what it is. It's not just it's bad grief, but it's the love grief of God inside of us that we can have your love grief inside of our hearts. And today, Lord, as I initiate this time to spend with you, I pray that my brothers and sisters would go and sail to the heights. I pray each one of us, Lord, help us. Help us carry the elements that represent your blood and your body. And help us carry those elements this Palm Sunday in recognizing the triumph of the King and the King of Kings. And Lord, let our prayers and our tears be the palms that prepare the way, Lord, for the sacrifice that was made, for others to know who you are and the joy of who you are, Lord. And so, Jesus, I thank you today, Lord, as you're creating an open door of freedom in lives. How can I better express it? But, Lord, this is a great day when there's new freedoms found in Jesus Christ, and that, Lord, the Holy Spirit is being honored and respected and held high in esteem among us. And so, Lord, help us today as we take in communion to receive the Holy Spirit, to receive the Holy Spirit in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. I want to read these verses in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, starting at verse 23. For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "Take, eat. Take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And in the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. my healing blood, my soul cleansing blood. This cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes. Father, thank you. Thank you for our chance. Jesus. Can I speak for somebody else too, but especially for me? I'm amazed. I'm amazed that you would make a sacrifice like this for me. I'm amazed that your love goes that deep and that you would take and give your only begotten for me. Lord, thank you today. Help me, Lord, along with my brothers and my sisters today, receive from you in Jesus' name. Amen. So Isaac, if you would, I'm just going to go ahead and open up the elements for you and just take your time with the Lord, please.